Amazing. Happy Easter. Here we are. Happy Easter. I love it. The bunny is here. Yay. It's also the last talk of this month's theme, That's the Way We've Never Done It. And I'm so glad. I mean, I'm so glad that theme's over. But anyway, I really do. I think we maneuvered through it quite well, don't you think, Reverend Jean? You were along for the ride, right? So we did okay. You know, and maybe we're talking about the Easter story in a way in which we've never done it either. So let's make it new for ourselves as well, right? Many faith traditions around the world celebrate Easter in different ways. There are some faith traditions that take the absolute literal translation of the story, right? Of a dead person coming back to life in a physical body, and we're not that. Just don't believe dead tissue reanimates. Anyway, some people, some faith traditions take on the idea of a metaphorical story. Right, it's a story that has meaning, and here we are in New Thought, and we understand a metaphysical interpretation based on the teachings of New Thought and the science of mind and religious science. And regardless of how you choose to interpret the story, the important part is that it's a story for us. It has to be applicable in our lives. Right? It has to be a story that becomes a guidepost for us, a manual, if you will, on how to live life. And I think this is really what those ancient stories and scriptures are speaking to us over the centuries, over the millennia. They are speaking to us as a story of how to live our lives together now, right? It can't be something that was just 2,000 years ago, or else we can't relate to it. It's got to be something that we can use here in our own lives to evolve us as spiritual beings. Ernest Holmes, and this was in a talk he gave in April, The Great Adventure, he said, Jesus made terrific claims. He said, in effect, God is with me, I am with God. I am an eternal being. All power is delivered unto the Son. It was a mission, and the purpose of Jesus was to take all of what we call this ancient wisdom and apply it. What today we would call spiritual truths, and prove them that healing the sick, the multiplying of the loaves and fishes, the consciousness that there is nothing to be afraid of, the revelation that everyone is on a majestic and eternal progression. Jesus knew that when the light is turned on, the darkness is gone. It does not matter how long it has been dark. Right? He said the man that comes in on the 11th hour gets the same pay. You remember that story from the Bible? Anybody remember that one? That was the one we hated. Really, it was the one we really didn't like very much, the one that annoyed us most, because the workers that showed up at the crack of dawn were agreed to a certain pay, and the workers that showed up at the very last hour were given the same pay. And of course, we have all righteous indignation about that. Well, that's not fair, right? That's not fair. I worked 11 hours. He only worked an hour. Why do we get the pay? The story's not about hours and wages, right? We know that metaphysically, the story is not about hours and wages. It's about awakening and receiving. It is about awakening and receiving, and it does not matter how long we've been asleep. It does not matter how long our back was turned to the truth. It doesn't matter how long we have denied our divinity. When we awaken to the truth of who we are, all of the gifts are there. That's what the story is about. Everything is there. When we awaken to the truth of who we are, all power, not just some of it, not just 11th hour power, all of the power is there. All of the love, all of the joy, it's all at our disposal when we awaken. That's what the story is about. And you know, the Easter story itself predates Jesus. It's another one of those ancient stories. It's been around forever and ever, right? There are so many stories that are older than the Jesus story that say the same thing, right? The God being betrayed and being killed and being buried and coming back after 3 days. All throughout history, that story has been repeated and repeated and repeated. It is about the evolution of a people. It's about the evolution of us. It's a story for us. And throughout the millennial, we've been telling the same story. I think we only have so many stories in us. You think? We sit around the fire and we keep telling the same stories, right? We tell about the birth of a guy from a god and a virgin, and we tell this story about a guy who was dead, but not really dead, because then he came back and he saves mankind. These stories have been around forever, forever. And we tell them over and over and over again in different ways in different times, different millennials, for different people in different cultures. You know, it reminds me of that story about the guy who said, you know, Jesus was a woman. I mean, God is a woman. And he said, God is a woman. How do you know God's a woman? And he said, well, here it is. God's a woman, and God as a woman dated all the prophets, dated all of them, dated Buddha, dated Muhammad, dated Abraham, dated Moses. She dated all of them, and she told them all the exact same thing. So all religion to this day is just mansplaining. That's all it is. Right? They're all different, but they're all saying the same thing. It's not about being right. It's not about being right. It is about drawing from the story what you need. And isn't that what religion does? It draws from the story what we need. Not about being right. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, we shall most surely find that divine creativity is stimulating everything in our lives to newness, to freshness, new growth that is bigger and better and happier. This is to discover that the secret of life within each is divine creativity. That's what we are. This is the whole story of our living. This is the whole story of the Jesus story. We know that it began last week, right? It began last week with Palm Sunday, the triumphant, you know, march into the city and the commitment that was made to see it through. There was a commitment that Jesus made according to that story. Well, he could have turned around and went back to, you know, home or the Mediterranean or whatever and blew off the whole week, but he didn't. He made a commitment to see something through, and so he did it, right? And, you know, the whole story and the tables being overturned and all that stuff and the drama with the fig tree getting cursed and dying and whatever, right? It's a big story. Holy Week is a big story. And then Wednesday, you know, now they call it Spy Wednesday. Has anyone ever heard of that? That's new to me. It's called Spy Wednesday. This is the day allegedly, you know, Judas sold Jesus out for the 30 pieces of silver. I didn't know they called it that, but anyway. And then there's Maundy Thursday, where they have the Passover supper and the beginning of what was considered the Eucharist sacred ceremony began there. That's where they trace it back. And Good Friday, the crucifixion. And here we are, Easter Sunday. He is risen. This is the important part to people who practice Christianity, right? Is not exactly the death. We don't get hung up on the death, but it is the resurrection. This idea that this philosophy cannot die. This man representing life eternal cannot die. So can you hear your story in that Holy Week? Can't you hear your story? Doesn't your life follow that Easter week, that Holy Week story? How you commit to a path at some point. You commit to something, to do something. How many times have we done that in our lives? We repeat these stories over and over again in our lives. We commit to a path, sometimes knowing and sometimes not knowing what's to come, right? And we just say, we're going to do this. We're going to decide to do this, take on this career, or take on this path, or do this job, or move to that city. And we do it, come what may. We sometimes don't know what the outcome is. But we know it is our next step. Whether that next step for us is moving, changing jobs, changing careers, changing cities, changing states, getting married, getting divorced, right? We commit to a path. And then we have to stay true to that path in order to evolve, right? I don't think I want to tell that. Anyway, you know, we do what is called, what we're called to do, we do what our calling is, right? And it unfolds before us. Now, I was just saying, I was remembering of a Good Friday years and years and years ago. This was way back in Pacific Church, and one of the dear practitioners, Jana Zunich, was doing a Good Friday meditation service. And I remember, and I was just loving it. I was a ministerial student at the time, and I was going to go there and take notes, and I sat there and I cried throughout the whole thing. And she was like, thank you. And I didn't really realize it at the time, but what I was feeling was this call to ministry and how that was going to change life forever. And how that was going to change life forever, not only for me, but for my honey. How life would never be the same for him. How life would never be the same for my children. How it's going to change everything we knew about life. And doing it anyway. This is staying true to this commitment to evolve. And I know you know this one. You've done it. You've done it so many times throughout your life. You do it and you take what comes, come what may. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, the resurrection is the death of the belief that we are separate from God. For death is to the illusion alone and not to reality. God did not die. What happened was that a man awoke to life. The awakening must be on the part of us, since God already is life. So these commitments we make to see things through, whether or not they're easy, or whether or not we like them, we commit to something, we do it. We do it come what may. So awake, we commit to this path. And it may seem like a betrayal to our beloveds. It may seem like a betrayal to our loved ones. We're changing the rules, right? It may look like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that, right? But you're there, and you're making your commitment, and you follow through. And here's the thing, you die to the old, didn't you? When you took on a new role in your life, when you take on a new career, when you take on a new love, when you take on a new place, you die to the old, don't you? This is the Easter story. That's what it is. We die to the old. We must follow through. Ernest Holmes had a talk on Easter Sunday talk. He said, referring to Jesus, he said, definitely all people live forever. Jesus didn't give us any of that dreadful, morbid nonsense about hell and damnation. That's just spiritual baloney. He said, if there is such a thing. It's about change. It is about evolving as a person. It's about becoming the more authentic spiritual self that we know we are, that spirit knows we are. It's about dying to the old ways, to the fears and the insecurities that we have and the maybes and the what-ifs and the I don't know what I'm doings. And it's about taking on the new role, the bigger role in our lives. It's dying to the old and taking on this new. Every time we die to the old, we are reborn. The Easter story is telling our story, and we repeat it over and over again. Shampoo, rinse, repeat. It's all we got, right? Why? Why? Why do we do this over and over and over throughout our lives? Why do we practice resurrection? That's really what it is, isn't it? We're practicing resurrection to integrate those pieces of ourselves that we have left scattered throughout the world on growing up, right? All those pieces and parts, all those disparate things that we have left around the globe, maybe, of ourselves. It's about a gathering together. It's about an integrating those pieces of ourselves that we left all over the place. It's coming to ourselves. That's what all of those resurrection stories are doing for us, gathering together all of those pieces and parts and thoughts and things that we left all over the place, interactions with this person or that person or thoughts we left with that person. You know those things you think about in the shower? Oh, I should have said this, and I didn't say that, and you're washing your hair, you know. Right, right, all those things. It's about drawing all that stuff together. We come to ourselves. to walk through the finished kingdom as a whole, evolved, awakened, spiritual being. Because that's who we are. That's who we are. And all of these choices we make bring us together. They bring us back together to that sense of wholeness, to become that whole spiritual being that we know of ourselves to be, so that we can walk through this world. We can walk through it as the finished kingdom we know that it is. And we can be the healers. Jesus, Ernest Holmes said this, Jesus proved what he believed. You and I are going to have to do the same thing. If we spiritually heal the sick, not that we deny the physical or psychological help, we believe in all of it. Should not that same power in us also resurrect the dead? It is a power we didn't put there. We all have it, and we ought to learn how to use it. And this is what we do, isn't it? And every time we're there for a loved one, every time we know the truth for someone, aren't we raising them from the dead? Every time we listen to the hopelessness of someone's heart and we speak truth for them and as them, isn't that what we're doing? We're raising the dead. This is why we come here. This is why we come here to a center like this. Why we attend classes and we read books and we go to workshops to get in touch with that. So that wholeness that we are, so that we can live that whole life, so that we can walk through the finished kingdom and know it is done. Know that heaven on earth. In Matthew 28:5, the angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid. I know you're here looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You'll see him there." Right? That's what they said. So we look for the beloved all the time, don't we? We are always looking for the beloved out there. We're looking for it out there. We look high and low. We look all around. The Christ consciousness is within. We're looking in the wrong place. The Christ consciousness is within. We cannot relate to an event that happened over 2,000 years ago, even if we think it's a miraculous event. We can't relate to it unless it's applicable in our life right now. Where is the Christ consciousness right now? The living Christ within us right now. It's here within us. The life that we are living right now. That's why they said go to Galilee, right? What is Galilee? It's just the average ordinary place, right? Seek God there. That's within us. In Colossians, Paul said, the mystery is Christ among you, your hope of glory. Christ among you. And it's not one person and we got to all find out who it is. That's what the story led some people to believe. But he was saying the Christ within all of us. In chapter 8, St. Augustine's Confessions, he said, men go abroad to wonder at the height of the mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of the rivers, the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering. And isn't that what we do? We pass by ourselves. We are the greatest wonder, right? That we can see. Right, this risen and go to Galilee to find him was saying, go to those common places. Go within. Go to the place of your birth. The Christ consciousness is found everywhere. It's found in the eyes of the stranger. It's found in acts of kindness. It's found in the chores we do. The Christ consciousness is found in vacuuming the rug and doing the dishes. The Christ consciousness is everywhere. Every time we recognize it. Every time we recognize the Christ consciousness within, we are risen. Jesus had linked life with living. Ernest Holmes said he discovered God in human events. He knew that every thought we have is a divine emanation of a living spirit. That he had so consciously unified himself with life that God was a constant and a continuous companion. And that's what we know. We know that life, that seed of perfection that is nestled within us is God. That's exactly what it is. He said he concluded that no one, and he was the first man in spiritual records that said this, and Ernest Holmes said, and I love this best of all. He said, it does not matter what happened yesterday. Yesterday and yesterday and yesterday, the history that is a tale told does not matter. There is a truth known today, transcendent of all our yesterdays. It wipes them all out. Today may be a fresh beginning. It is the eternal resurrection. And that, my friends, is what we're doing here. We are eternally resurrecting. We are eternally new. This new thought philosophy that we teach is to be new in each and every moment. It doesn't have to be New Year's Day when you write your resolutions. It doesn't have to be Easter Day when he is risen, when you are risen. Every moment of every day is a new moment. Every thought you have is a new thought. Let us practice resurrection daily. Thank you.